3:03, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Monday afternoon. Now, the weather is fantastic. Enjoy today, because tomorrow, figure about 10 degrees hotter. And you know what's going to happen as well? The humidity is going to ramp up. So the rest of this week is going to be less than optimal. But today is gorgeous. I tell you, today is one of those days where I'm thinking, as I'm sitting here, all the windows are open, looking at this beautiful yard and flowers and grass, and just enjoying the temperatures and the low humidity. I got my Julia cam on because Heidi's out of town, so I got 110% Julia duty. And I'm thinking of all these great things that are happening, just literally as we speak, as I'm sitting here. Got a great cup of coffee. Pixie, believe it or not, has won Employee of the Month yet again for the Jeff Katz Show for the month of May. But I've got to talk about what happened in Boulder, Colorado, as a result of a terrorist and a group of Jewish Americans. The chief of police out there in Boulder, Colorado, if he can pull his rear end out of his woke ass long enough, at this point may have figured out that this was an act of terrorism. You know, what with trying to light Jews, well, not just trying, actually lighting Jews on fire while screaming slogans penned by Hamas. Well, you know, we don't want to venture too far out on the limb here and describe this as an act of terrorism. Well, yeah, I know what it looks like. I know what it looks like. What with the guy over there who, did you know he's an illegal alien? Well, now, let's not throw terms around. I mean, his feelings might be hurt. Now, here I am hoping his legs and arms might be hurt, but, you know, I'm a bad guy. Yeah, well, I mean, he can't call him an illegal alien. Why not? He's here illegal. Well, sure, technically. Okay. Well, you know what? If that doesn't work for you, just put that over on the side. How about this? He showed up at a Jewish event with Jewish people to murder those Jewish people. Well, we don't really know what his goal was. Well, listen, Chief. He made his homemade Molotov cocktails. We don't call them that. Oh, okay. What do you call it? Well, incendiary devices. But, you know, that's still to be determined. We're investigating it. I don't know. They caught on fire and they set those people on fire. Seems to me like they were pretty damned incendiary. But what was it? You know, maybe, just maybe. Listen, I've heard that Jeff Katz himself say that one of his favorite biblical verses, be a light to the world. Maybe that's all this guy was trying to do. You know, be a light to the world. By what? Lighting up the Jews? Well, I mean, they were, I'm not going to say it's terrorism. Why? Well, because I'm here in Boulder, Colorado. And Boulder, Colorado is a far left wing ultra-woke, ultra-progressive community. And if I come out and say it's terrorism, then you know what's going to happen? I'm going to lose my job. And I can't afford to lose my job. Oh, okay. Anybody else want to say anything? Oh, okay, let me recognize the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, Hash Patel. Mr. Director, do you have anything to say? Yes, it was terrorism. Next question. I'm sorry. Let me just recognize one other. Mr. Bongino, Dan Bongino, the deputy director of the Federal Bureau of Investigations. Deputy director, do you have anything to say? Yes, it was terrorism. Next question. Okay. No, I think I'm done here. Thank you. My work has been completed. Remember, just a couple of years ago, parents who showed up at school board meetings were being described by the president of the United States, his team, as terrorists for showing up at a school board meeting. Heck, these parents didn't even ask questions. They were literally just sitting in the audience. But Team Biden described those mothers and fathers as terrorists. Now, you have, just so we're all clear, and I sure hope that none of these descriptions hurt the very delicate sensitivities and feelings of this Delta Bravo, but nonetheless, let me share them with you. So, you have an Egyptian national who is in the United States of America illegally. Well, now, wait a minute. Oh, okay, hold on. Let me acknowledge this. He hasn't always been in the United States illegally. He was initially admitted by, the Biden administration. And then the Biden administration told him, don't worry about it. We're not locking you up for being here illegally. So, I digress. So you have an Egyptian national who is in the United States of America illegally. He builds Molotov cocktails or incendiary devices, whichever term actually works for you. He then travels to a peaceful weekly event thrown by a Jewish group, which, if I have to go out here on a limb, I would bet dollars to donuts as I am sitting here, that given that it was a Jewish organization in Boulder, Colorado, I would be willing to bet that it was a collection of, for the most part, probably left-wing folks. Well, I'm just saying, because that's the population of Boulder. That's one of those where you can say that, and you're probably going to be proven correctly. But you go there to target those people. You make that clear. You are shouting Hamas slogans. You set the Jewish people on fire, one of whom has now succumbed to their injuries, which is a very nice way of saying they're dead. And there's confusion. I mean, honest to goodness, there's confusion about what may or may not have happened there. The only person less reputable and honest in this discussion than the chief of police in Boulder, Colorado, is that appalling person, Andrew McCabe. Disgraced, utterly disgraced former FBI official, who is also saying, well, I don't want to get in, you know, I shut up. Good Lord. Everybody can see what this was. In fact, I should probably mention this to you. Early this morning, I was on with my friends over at Newsmax Television. And my appearance there had been scheduled already. It was 8 o'clock this morning. First day of total Julia duty, because Heidi's off on... Heidi's got the bulk of the responsibilities. Honest to goodness, she does with Julia. She gets all of the nasty, ugly stuff all the time, it seems to me. And so she's off for a week to go and explore with one of her musical pals, some stuff going on in England, and she does it every couple of months. And a lot of the times, you just need to know this before I mention to you the Newsmax thing. She's like, well, I don't know if I should go, and are you going to be able to do this? Which, by the way, is thoroughly insulting, because aside from the fact that I don't know you have to take braids out of a girl's hair before you wash it, other than that, I'm pretty good. I mean, when Heidi gets back, Julia is fundamentally in the same condition. You know, her hair looks terrible, but I mean, other than that, she's clean, she's fed, she's played outside. Yes, she's had more cookies and ice cream than Heidi would give her, but that's just because I'm a better parent, that's all. Shh, don't say that. So this morning, this was already set to go on Newsmax at 8 a.m. I just thought we were talking about some of the stuff going on in D.C., right? The one big beautiful bill and blah, 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 blah. And I was ready for that. You know, it is what it is. I love Newsmax. They've been so kind to me through the decades. And so I was ready for that. And I was on with some guy I've never heard of. That doesn't mean that he's not somebody. You know what I mean? Because believe me, I can guarantee you that sometimes there are people on with me and they're going, who is Jeff Katz? And that's okay. But I don't know who this guy is. And apparently he's some left-wing podcast guy. Maybe a nice guy. I don't know. But do you know that he came on defending these actions? That's not just me saying that. That's the hosts on Newsmax saying that. And the hosts on Newsmax are actual journalists. I know you don't run into them all that often, but they are. And they called him out for this nonsense. And I called him out for this nonsense. I said, it's absolutely appalling. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Well, I'm just defending. You know, Trump is attacking free speech. Well, number one, that's not true. But number two, what does that have to do with this? You're telling me that setting Jews on fire is free speech? That's protected speech? I'm not saying you are saying that. And I got news for you, pal. I don't even remember his name. I got news for you, pal. You are aiding and abetting these terrorists, in my opinion. That's what's going on here. And this nonsense goes back, certainly, to the Biden team. Anybody want to venture a guess what would have happened in response if, in fact, Team Biden were still in charge? I would be willing to bet that Christopher Wray, who was playing the part of the FBI director, would say, I don't know. And Merrick Garland would probably come out and say, well, we're going to investigate. And then one of the hacks inside of Team Biden, guarantee you, would have come out and say, well, let's not jump to any conclusions. And you know what else would happen? In fact, it may still happen today. There's still time for Tiny Tim Kaine to step on a soapbox or two to, you know, get up to microphone level. There's still time for the ever-constipated Mark Warner to squeeze out another comment and say something like, well, we all have to be worried about Islamophobia. I don't know. Looks to me like those of us who are Jewish might have a little more to be concerned about than some others. So that's where we are. Jimmy Galliano is going to join us at 3:35. Jimmy, as you know, a dear friend, still a dear friend, even though the Red Sox, I think yesterday, beat the Braves. And Jimmy is just one of the most honorable, decent human beings I've ever met. I'm telling you right now, I am just always humbled to chat with him or be in his company. He's the real deal. Retired supervisor, special agent from the FBI. He'll be with us at 3:35. His perspective. I think the Bureau is doing exactly what needs to be done, but I do want to find out what the process is. Is this going to be handled strictly by the Boulder City Police, the Boulder County Sheriff, what do they have out there? The Colorado State Patrol. They also have the Colorado Bureau of Investigations. Or is this immediately going into federal territory? Because it sure seems to me that it's terrorism. I don't know. But Jimmy will know. And Jimmy will be with us at 3:35. Reminder to you, the James River Air text line, always available to you, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. You feel free to send me a note over there, and I will feel free to share it on the air. It's nice when you sign your name, you know, you don't have to. I'm happy to read your area code, as if that matters, but go ahead, sign your name. 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140, the James River Air text line. It is 316, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 321, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday. I am so happy to say that my friend Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent for the FBI, is going to be with us at 3:35. We'll be chatting about what did happen out in Colorado. The latest information is that one person, in fact, has died. Is it going to get worse? I don't know. All of the victims had been transported to local Boulder hospitals. But one of the things that I noticed yesterday, and I'm not sure if it's still the case, it had two first-degree murder charges lodged against this alleged murderer slash terrorist. At the time, there were no deaths that were reported. So I do not know if it was already known that two people had passed away. Was it a mistake? Are there others in addition to the one person we now know has passed away? I don't know. I don't know. But we will hopefully get the information and see where it goes. There were a number of people, as I mentioned to you, taken to the local hospitals out there. There seems to be a wide variety of agencies involved. And, well, listen. Jerm, you've actually got it, right? Jeremy, you've got some of the audio. I don't know who it was, but somebody on a cell phone recorded some of this alleged murderous terrorist scumbag. No, I mean, he's allegedly a scumbag. I'm not calling him one. I'm just saying, allegedly. Let's take a listen if we can understand that, Jeremy. Jerm? No? All right. All right, we'll get it.
We can't do it when he's got Molotov cocktails.
If you are fighting, you have to
get what he's got right here.
All right. Some of the folks there, by the way, were survivors of the Holocaust. Go ahead and let that disgusting detail sink in. People who somehow survived Hitler, who somehow survived the Nazis' goal of slaughtering every single solitary Jew on planet Earth, only to be at what has been since October 2023, a peaceful event organized by the Jewish community in Boulder, Colorado, asking that the hostages be released. It's an incredible situation. I'm just trying to track down any further. As of right now, just FYI, it's still one dead. But there still seem to be two first-degree murder charges. We'll get some more details. Jimmy Galliano joins us, 3:35. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday. Weather is beautiful. Hey, can I tell you? Absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. And I'm hoping you enjoy it today, because tomorrow, look for highs easily into the mid-80s. Rest of the week, closer to 90. Humidity is ramping up, all that stuff. But today is a day if you have the opportunity to enjoy it. We got a lot of great stuff coming up. 5:35, one of my buddies, Matt Krieger, is going to be along. Does that great concert series in Doswell each and every summer. They got some big acts coming again this year. They always do. But Matt's going to pop by at 5:35. We'll get some details on it. You and I are looking at the situation in Colorado, and I do have to say again that aside from the police chief in Colorado and the disgraced former FBI official Andrew McCabe, it seems like everybody else understands this was terrorism. That's what Kash Patel says. It's what Dan Bongino says. It's, if I understand it correctly, the SAC out there in Boulder said the same thing, so I'm going with those guys. Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, knows a thing or two about federal investigations and what is or is not this or that. I'm happy to say he's joining us. Jimmy, thank you for being here, my friend.
Jeff, I feel like here we go again. It's like Groundhog Day with this. It's another one of these incidents, one right after the other, and you know, you look at what happened at the Pennsylvania governor's home, where he and his family were almost, you know, burned alive in their home by an arsonist who obviously was expressing his anti-Semitism by attacking the governor of one of the largest states in the country. Mm-hmm. Then just a week ago in D.C., Jeff, you have a young Jewish couple that worked at the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C., gunned down in cold blood by some radical Marxist anti-Semite. And then this, Jeff, it's mind-boggling to me. And I want to share real quickly with you a little anecdote that just explains the disconnect. I think Benjamin Netanyahu said it best when he says, look, you know, it's not just Israel that this form of you know, anti-Semitism that's exhibited by these extremist Islamists, it's not just Israel they want to destroy. They're coming for Western civilization. This is an existential threat. And I'm not being overly hyperbolic, Jeff. I'm not trying to, you know, act, you know, too crazy about this, because we've got to look at this, you know, methodically and figure out how we eradicate this. Right. But my quick anecdote, I'm at an event this weekend as a former mayor, and I meet another former public official. He happens to be a Democrat. And he's Jewish, and we are good friends. We disagree on many things politically, but he's a good and decent man, and I think he feels the same way about me. And this is a couple of weeks ago, and again, we're talking, and I'm like, you know, all the stuff going on these college campuses, gosh, I said, did you ever in a million years feel that there would be such openly allowable anti-Semitism? He goes, well, Jimmy, you know, what really frightens me as a Jew is white Christian nationalism. And Jeff, you know me, I immediately go to the facts and figures and stats. And I said to my friend, I'm like, well, look, you know, in 2018, you know, during the first Trump term, the top four terror groups, they killed tens of thousands of people across the globe, were all radical Islamists. It was ISIS, the Taliban, Al-Shabaab, and Al-Qaeda. Jeff, before I cat on with you right now, I wanted to look up and find out, who is doing most of the killing now? And so this is 2024, okay, 6 years later, and the Global Terrorism Index, GTI, it's the Islamic State. It's the Taliban in Pakistan. It's a group called Jamaat Nusrat al-Islam that operates in parts of Africa and Mali. And finally, it's another Somali group that's similar to Al-Shabaab. These same groups are responsible for the greatest amounts of terror across the globe. And Jeff, what do they all have at the heart of their credo or their ethos? A hatred for the Jews. Yep. And that's what we experienced in Boulder yesterday. And I'm sad to hear that they're now we do have deaths involved in it. You know, we were wondering how people were doing after being burned by Molotov cocktails and some kind of makeshift flamethrower. But gosh, Jeff, and I say this to you, you know better than I do, it's history repeating itself.
It is. And I don't want to say anything nasty about your friend, because I know when you call somebody a friend, it means something. And that means something to me that he is your friend. But I do have to say that there are so many in the Jewish community in the year 2025 who are really secular humanists and are progressives before they want to talk about anything that's Jewish. And one of the things that's disturbing, he talks about white Christian nationalist. Okay, I mean, he can talk about it all he wants. But I can tell you, and you know this, when you listen to what these groups are saying, when they're speaking amongst each other in Arabic, continually the phrase first Saturday, then Sunday is used. They're not trying in any way to disguise what the ultimate goal is here. It is the destruction of the West. It is the destruction, first, of Judaism, second, of Christianity. And there are a lot of people who are deceiving themselves. And then we have some self-serving politicians, as you know, who are trying to conflate things. And I have to ask you, though, Andrew McCabe, who did not exactly leave the bureau in the highest of standing, I think that's a kind way to describe it, he too is saying, well, we don't really know what's happening and this and that. The chief of police in Boulder says, gosh, I don't want to say this or that. Cash Patel and Dan Bongino, and I believe the SAC out there, immediately said, yeah, this sure seems to be terrorism to us. What say you?
Yeah, you know, Jeff, you always have to be careful, and I understand that. You know, you never want to get out ahead of things. Mm-hmm. But when it looks like a duck, when it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, and yells free Palestine and death to all Zionists.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Jeff, you could probably winnow out domestic dispute, workplace violence. You could probably make a reasonable assertion that that is what it is. And I remember a couple of years taking a beating because I was disappointed when the Bureau would not announce that a synagogue on the High Holy Day that was attacked and congregants were shot, and the FBI came out in an abundance of caution, again, delayed by hours, stating what we all already knew. Now, look, I get it.
Yeah.
You know, law enforcement, we've got to be precise in language, and we've got to be precise in what we call things. But this was obvious, and I think you touched on it at the top of the hour. This was a case of a Boulder police chief that, you know, lives in one of the, you know, most liberal cities in the country, one of the most liberal states in the country,
yep.
And just dancing around that fine line of being afraid of inflaming tensions. It's just an utter joke. Call things what they are, Jeff, and I know that's what you do.
Jimmy Galeano is joining us. Jimmy, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. Let me ask you about the role of the FBI in this, Jimmy, because as I tried to go through news accounts and the whatever little paperwork, if you will, that was available, I see the following involved. You've got the Boulder City Police Department. You have the Boulder County Sheriff's Office. You have the Colorado State Patrol, the Colorado Bureau of Investigations. And then we get into some of the three-letter folks, the FBI, et cetera. So who is really in charge here, and how does all of this eventually get investigated and prosecuted?
Yeah, Jeff, I have, as you well know, I have huge respect for law enforcement partners, the local police, the state police. The bottom line is, this is an FBI investigation. Why is that? Well, there was a thing called Presidential Decision Directive, I think it was 62, and it was signed by Bill Clinton back in 1998. And here's essentially what it says. It was pages and pages and pages of language, but basically boiled down to, if an event or an incident is thought to be terrorism, the FBI assumes lead control of the investigation. Now, there are times, and it happens more frequently than you would think, whereby a state might have laws on the book that are actually, you know, more robust than the feds do. Now, in this instance, this guy is probably going to be charged with a WMD charge. Now, some states have WMD statutes. New York State is one.
Okay.
He's been charged, I believe, with federal hate crimes. And then there's a load of state felonies, because obviously a murder, attempted murder, assault, those things aren't typically federal violations unless they're tied into something bigger or broader like a conspiracy. But yes, this will be an investigation led by the FBI, obviously working in concert with all the other agencies. But Jeff, real quick, interesting to note here too, and you look at the immigration issue, and you know, you talk about it a lot on your show, it's front and center.
Yeah.
So this guy enters this country as a courtesy on August 2, 2022. He comes in on a B-2 visa. He's allowed to work. Now, the visa expires in February of 2023. He applies for asylum in September of 2022, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've said this before. We've talked about asylum, and I've researched this. Jeff, 3-4% of the people that apply for asylum are eligible for it and receive it. Those are the numbers. It's much less than 10%, so think about that. Vast majority of people abuse that system. Why do I bring this up? The guy, the subject, who will remain nameless, the subject now who's in police custody, tells his interviewers, his interrogators, that he had been planning this attack for over a year. Let that resonate. While he is here on a student, on a work visa, and while he is applying for asylum, because he's leaving a place where he feels, Egypt, that he is being oppressed or persecuted, and then comes here and attacks our countrymen and our countrywomen. It is an upside-down world, Jeff, and guess what? You see what's going on in Europe right now, you watch what's going on in Paris, and They want to globalize the Intifada. They're not just screaming that on college campuses and not thinking it's going to happen. It has led to these three tragic incidents of recent, Jeff, and I'm afraid we're going to see more before we see less.
I think you're probably right. Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent for the FBI, talking a little bit about the situation in Colorado, how it might be tied into other things. Will there be a further investigation, Jimmy, into his connections, as an example, to the Muslim Brotherhood, which is very, very strong, as you know, in Egypt, that leading proponent of terrorist activities? Is that something that the FBI will go and look at, or is it enough to say, look, here's what he did here within the state of Colorado, this is what we're pursuing?
Jeff, that's a great question. I mean, you'll recall that Muhammad Atta, who was the leader of the 19, you know, terrorists that hijacked airplanes and flew them into buildings and into the ground on 9/11, was from Egypt. Sure. You know, and obviously investigators are doing that right now. They're probably scrubbing all of his, you know, his laptops and cell phones, whatever kind of digital footprint he has, and we call it in the business digital exhaust, who he contacted, who's wired him money, you know, who he chats with, who he's in contact with on WhatsApp or one of those other kind of encrypted apps. Right. They're doing all that because, remember, Jeff, this could be two things. This could be somebody inspired, mm-hmm. or this could be somebody directed. Is he part of a terrorist network where they put him up to it? Well, if they did, this was kind of a slipshod operation. Although, anytime there's death and injuries like this, obviously, you know, it's something that, you know, is horrific. Yeah. It could have been much worse, of course. Thank God he didn't have his, you know, hands on a device or, you know, something that with explosive capabilities or a semi-automatic weapon and knew how to use it or something like that.
Yep.
But yeah, they're going to go back and determine that, Jeff, and we'll know, was this something where he was directed to do it, or was this something where he just read stuff online, or he had a hatred for the U.S. and his purpose in coming here was he wanted to do something like this, or he was inspired by all the unrest right now we see. Mm. Look, nothing against college kids protesting. I mean, it's been going on since the dawn of time. We get it. That's where they figure things out and they scream at the generations before them. But the stuff that is being said on these campuses, Jeff, it goes beyond the First Amendment. I would argue it is incitement and it is fomenting exactly what we saw yesterday.
What great points, Jimmy. You talk about Muhammad Atta. Obviously, that was an operation years in the making, millions and millions of dollars, apparently, with that. My first sense with this, if he made all of these, quote, Molotov cocktails, all right, that's relatively easy. I need bottles. I need something flammable. I know where these Jewish people are. We'll go there. But then this, apparently, improvised or homemade flamethrower. I don't know his background. I don't know if he's smart or not smart or trained, but boy, that just does seem to be a step beyond, at least to a layman looking in from the outside.
Sure. Well, I mean, Jeff, you know, we track certain things in the government, right? I mean, if you go to buy a firearm, you know, it's, you know, there's a serial number on it, and you fill out paperwork, and there's a background check. We all understand that. If you go to a tractor supply store and try to buy 1,000 bags of fertilizer and then head over to the petrol dump and try to buy, you know, 55 gallon drums of diesel fuel, after Oklahoma City in 1995, these are things now that get tracked and tripped and the federal government is made aware of when these type of purchases are made. When you do something at this level, making a Molotov cocktail is one of the simplest incendiary devices that you can build. I don't know anything about the details regarding this homemade flamethrower, but Jeff, look, you know, I mean, people can go on the internet, and unfortunately, you live in a free and open society. People can post what they want. Going back to the Anarchist Cookbook, Jeff, which I believe was written back in the 60s, which told people how to build bombs in their kitchen. So, yeah, it's not too hard. It doesn't cost that much money. And if somebody is hell-bent on causing terror or hurting a group of people or just causing chaos, yeah, that's exactly what you saw happen the other day.
Jimmy, I'm chuckling just a little bit, and I just appreciate the fact that as I was thinking Antarctica's cookbook, there you were. It's a throwback, though, but you're right. I mean, you don't have to have that anymore. Everything that was in there has advanced exponentially, for goodness sakes, and, of course, is all available with the click of a button or two. Hey, one of the things that I demand each and every time you're kind enough to be here is that you remind everybody about the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund, because we got good men and women doing a tough job, and sometimes they need some backup.
Yeah, and this is a time when you've got, you know, many major cities that are that have some of the George Soros financed DAs that are, yep, making determinations on whether police officers and other law enforcement officers are charged with crimes for doing their job. And what the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund does is we provide material support. We provide financial aid to, you know, help a police officer that's been suspended or fired from their job with their litigation costs, as well as keeping the lights on and putting food on the table. And Jeff, we only choose the cases where it is a clear-cut case of overreach and just a horrific, you know, decision made by DAs that are hell-bent on, you know, charging cops with things that are unfair and unjust. Remember, it's objective reasonableness. We look at these cops, we put them in tough positions, we have them go out and do things that we don't want to do, and then we're judging them as if they have the time to stop it and view it in slow motion. And so what we do is we try to take care of those folks. Your listeners can go to policedefense.org. That's policedefense.org. And Jeff, always appreciate you. You are one of the biggest back to blue guys there is, and we always appreciate your support.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate you being here, brother. That is Jimmy Galliano. Jimmy is a retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, graduate of West Point, served as the mayor of his hometown, and he's really close, as I understand it, to wrapping up his PhD. He is one smart dude and a man's man. Think the world of him. It is 3:53. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA.